This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Resource Centre. I'm Maya Tan. The topic of the day is sustainability and green project management. But today, the question we're asking is it profitable to go green? So here to tell us more is Brian Cracknell, Green Project Management Global Partner, and Mohammad Naruddin, Secretary General of the Association of Construction Project Managers, or ACPM in Malaysia. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
All right. So, you know, Brian, you train people on green practices, corporations and organizations. In your experience training clients and working on green projects, what are the oft-encountered questions or concerns that people have?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pushback. You have to acknowledge that from the beginning. It's still a relatively new field, although you have to say that the importance of sustainability has surged in the last 20 years. It's still away from gaining widespread acceptance on the ground in actual practices. And this is something that we've got to play our part in advocating, educating and engaging people to try and change habits and practices. But yeah, as for the common questions, I mean, the question we got today, is it profitable to go green? That's probably the one that's on most people's minds. Another one is, why should I go green? You know, my business is doing okay as it is. Why do we have to change business as usual? And another one, which I think is underlooked, is, you know, what are my prospects as an individual? You know, if I make the change to be more of a green practitioner, so to speak, how will that help me in my future career? So obviously people are keen to find out more about it and put it into practice, but unless that translates into career progression or, you know,
it's pay, still very what's in it for me kind of mindset.
Yeah. And I mean, that's understandable. So we have to try and frame it in those terms. Like, I think it's becoming increasingly clear that, you know, you can have lots of sustainability careers. There are different jobs that are coming up around the world that incorporate sustainability in the job role to a lesser or greater extent. So that's a career opportunity that you can point out to people. But in terms of the, is it profitable to go green? That's probably the most often asked question. And, you know, how do we keep making money even though we're watching the emissions and we're minimizing the resource use and we're, you know, treating our people well and making sure that, you know, there's no harm done to other stakeholders.
And Mohammad, in terms of the development and construction industries, what are the mindsets there like, you know, and what are their chief concerns?
What you see is very true. Most people in construction will say, put your money where your mouth is. Don't just claim a green. But let's address the issue. Is it this question of, is it profitable to go green in another form? Is it costly not to go green? Can we afford not to go green or sustainable? That is the issue that has to be addressed. Let's look at the last flood we had in Malaysia. Now, we can say anything about tides and things like that, but actually, if you turn it around, you look at it around, it has got to do with the environment. And the cause of such a destruction is just, you cannot expect to have that kind of problem every year. Now, that's the cost we have to pay for our neglect of the environment, for our neglect of sustainability of the environment. Can we afford that? No, I agree that initially, perhaps we need to provide incentives for those who wants to practice sustainability in construction project. But over time, as more and more people realize the importance of sustainability, it has to become a legal requirement. It can no longer be something that you do as and when you need it. The trouble in construction project is that we are very competitive industry. So everybody wants to do something at the lowest price, but then has got to do it in a very fast way. So given that situation, because of the competitive nature and adversarial nature of the industry itself, you find that people will find ways and means to cut short doing things. The easiest way is to sacrifice things like the needs for environment, because nobody is there to monitor that. They at the individual level feel that way. But at the national or social level, there must be more and more people, NGOs, who should pressure that all these association or businesses must give focus to the environment, because the economic profit is good for the business. But the sustainability profit is good for society as a whole in future. So it is important that we realize that we cannot afford not to do without sustainability.
Mm. From what you're saying, I'm getting the impression that amongst developers, amongst contractors, they're all still of the mindset that the environment is secondary to profit.
No, there are good developers, contractors who are concerned about environment. Mm. But if you are given to a situation of business where you have to compete in order to survive, mm. then you find ways and means to cut down costs. And the easiest way is to cut down costs where people are not monitoring. So environment is not something that has to do with a particular project. It has to do with all projects all the time, with the whole community or whole countries and things like that. So nobody individually, although there are requirements nowadays for you to submit EIAs and things like that, it's still not enough. We need to actually make sure that each individual practices is itself not contributing, so that the sum total of everything will be lesser and lesser as we proceed into the future.
So you believe that there needs to be more regulation and just more enforcement in that sense?
At the initial stage, perhaps incentive will be a more applicable, okay. You know, rather than
That's how we respond, right? Incentives.
Yeah. That is the easiest way to deal with businessmen. Give the incentive. In future, when everybody recognizes that there is a need for environment, I guess we can then implement the legislative part of it.
All right. Well, then the big question, is it profitable to go green? How do you do that?
Well, I think the points Mohammed has made are very good ones. And also, how do we define profitable? I think the problem up to now has we think profitable is all to do with money. I mean, there's a lot of evidence to show that now a business's success, a project's success, is a lot to do with the amount of innovation in it as well. In fact, there's one American thinker on this who says, Marty Neumoyer, who says that not money is the new currency of business. And some people are arguing that unless you've got new ideas coming into your business and innovations happening, that you're not getting a significant portion of your revenue. So we can't just look at revenue, if you like, profit in terms of money. It's how are we accruing ideas and implementing those and putting them to common good. It's also about learning. You know, many of the projects that we assess, for example, that are deemed to be world-class or excellent, it's always quite striking how much, when you're interviewing people, they mention the word learning. You don't hear a lot of people talking about, oh, I made a lot of money out of it, but you hear a lot of people saying, oh, I learned so much from this, and it was great to be in this team. And in fact, a project is a fantastic learning vehicle that's been proven. So it gives you a bounded, very limited period and a limited space to work in, but it's been shown that it's a great sphere for people to learn a lot and to interact with others and to grow professionally and personally from that. So I think we've got to kind of rephrase the question a bit, if you like, a bit like Mohammed said, you know, is it profitable not to go green, perhaps? What do we do if we don't go green? But it's also about perhaps not focusing too much on the word profit in monetary terms only.
Mm-hmm. So the kinds of profit that we're talking about could also translate to knowledge.
Exactly.
Could translate to experience,
exactly.
Which leads to new opportunities, capabilities of your organization.
Absolutely. In a business sense, that's what it's all about. You're creating value. And value is not just from the revenue in dollars. It's also your people. It's also your ideas and your brand.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And if I may add, yes, it can be made possible if the playing field is made level to all those participating in the business. Now, if you are saying that there's a need to maintain sustainability of your projects or your business, then make sure that everybody who competes for the project contributes to sustainability, and not that some only, and monitor, make sure that you monitor the fact that they are maintaining the needs for sustainability. Now, that goes back into our need to have quantification of, as Brian mentioned just now, quantification of the aspect of sustainability. Now, if we are able to quantify sustainability in some form, then we find that we can have a criteria for everybody who participate in that particular business in such a way that everybody then has got to conform for the needs for sustainability. You know, as long as we can actually quantify what are those needs are.
Mm. All right, well, something to think about. I'm speaking with Brian Cracknell, Green Project Management Global Partner, and Muhammad Naruddin, Secretary General of the Association of Construction Project Managers, ACPM. We'll be back with more on Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money, BFM 89.9.
This is Resource Centre. Good afternoon. I'm Maya Tan. Brian Cracknell is here. He is the Green Project Management Global Partner and also Muhammad Naruddin, Secretary General of the Association of Construction Project Managers, or ACPM. The question we're asking today is it profitable to go green? So just before we left off, we were talking about quantification. And also, I think a lot of people will be asking the question, is green profitability proven?
All right. Well, I think we have to say that still in its early stages on a global scale, so it is difficult to come up with proven examples in some industries. But I think we've also seen many large companies beginning to show and showing over a period of time that green profitability is proven. If I take one example, DuPont has shown in the three major areas we mentioned in the previous program, revenue growth, productivity gains, and risk management. In revenue growth, for example, 2007 to 2012, the revenue from non-depletable resources rose 100%, whereas their revenue for the whole company rose 18%. So that's more than a 5-to-1 ratio, which is good by any businessman's calculation. So in that sense, green profitability is proven. In terms of productivity gains, same company, DuPont, between 1990 and 2010, $6 billion in aggregate cost avoidance from energy saving, whereas 2010, their net income alone was $3 billion. So there's a material impact on that productivity gain. In risk management, they've come up with six key areas of potential future exposure, and I think that's a very valuable area that companies can really get green project management going in, identifying risks and then deploying resources and efforts to make sure that they get results in those areas. Along those three parameters, which as we said before, are very good measurements of whether you're succeeding in your green project management, revenue growth, productivity gains, risk management, that's one very powerful example of a major company that's shown that green profitability does work.
Mm. And, you know, for you, Muhammad, in terms of the construction industry, in terms of development, what does it take to adopt these green practices? We're talking about materials, we're talking about different skills. What's actually involved, and have we got the capability? Do we have enough know-how?
Locals may not have sufficient capacity to do that. When you talk about materials, construction, every project uses natural materials. There's no choice. You have to use bricks and wood all coming up from some hill somewhere and things like that. And you have to use sand from the river. Now, do you have alternative to all these materials? You don't. You can have artificial sand, but it's costly to produce. It goes back to the fact that whether we like it or not, we have to pay. When you talk about profitability, when we are talking about sustainability, it's going to incur costs. Some way or in some form, either in the form of more difficult way to do things, more time required to do things in order to not to sacrifice the environment too much. That's what I was saying, that there must be a level playing ground so that everybody is tendering for the same thing, that means to protect the environment. Otherwise, if you see, you find that when you talk about sustainability, you find that even the developed countries like US and China were reluctant as it to commit themselves to the greenhouse effect and things like that. Only recently, I think they signed up to this commitment. Because there is an implication that when you talk about trying to clean up the environment, clean up your act for that matter, obviously you're going to incur additional costs. But the only way to do this is that to make sure that everybody incurs the same cost so that the competition will then be on a level playing field. Mm. So this is the thing that has to be enforced to all the participants in the industry.
So people are not willing to pay these higher costs in order to achieve less pollution, in order to achieve better successes without hurting the environment. Yeah. How are people doing it in other countries? Mm. There are people in the Netherlands, for example, who are very, very conscious and who are at the forefront of trying to build without polluting or hurting the environment. How are they doing it? And what will it take for us to get the same practices done here?
Well, I think that's a very good example. I mean, Netherlands has, you know, led the way really in sustainability. We can't deny that. I think it starts with, you know, what is your ethic? What is your outlook? And anyone who's been to the Netherlands can see that, you know, it's a very collectively minded country. It's all facilities are for the common good, and that infuses what most citizens do. So I think it's got to come from, you know, we talk about punitive measures or enforcement. That can only go so far. You've got to really have that coming from within so that somebody is able to say, no, I'm not doing that because I'm not comfortable with it. And I don't think it's got a good long-term effect. And I think that's important as well. We shouldn't just be thinking about short-term profit. We've got to be thinking about the long-term. And in fact, that's a really good definition of sustainability, that we cater to our own needs for the present, but without damaging the needs of future generations. So I think it's got to do with short-term, long-term thinking. It's also about your ethic and your own sort of self-enforcement, if you like.
And also, I think a unity of thought, as you say,
exactly.
If everyone has the same mindset, if everyone observes and experiences the same costs and the same kinds of profits, that's how we can achieve it.
I would also add that we tend to think of all these things in terms of what we separately can do. But a big part of the sustainability movement is collaboration, you know, working together to do things that you couldn't just do on your own. So there's plenty of examples if you're looking at businesses in other countries where, for example, I was reading one the other day about two traditional businesses in Yorkshire in the UK. I think one is a tea house and the other one makes traditional biscuits and cakes. And they've come together to sort of, they've got different branches in cities within Yorkshire. But they've also collaborated with an area in Kenya. And they commit to donating a certain amount of their profits. So for every pound that you spend, for example, I'm not sure the exact percentage, but they'll donate a percentage of that to the welfare of that Kenyan village. And it comes in the form of, for example, planting trees. But this is where we tend to think of, oh, being sustainable is planting a tree. But you can go higher value added than that. Plant trees that actually have economic value and use for that village. So there's a particular type of tree that they use for fencing. So to make sure that that is planted and in enough numbers. Another one that is used for firewood. So it's not just, you know, you turn up one day and you have a photograph taken. Oh, hey, look, we're planting a tree. It's not much long-term use if that tree doesn't provide any long-term benefit to that community in that sense. So I think those are perhaps it's your self-regulating mentality, if you like, and professional ethic. It's also about collaborating, but it's very much about thinking long term, not just, you know, what I'm getting out of it now, but how is everybody going to benefit from this?
If you talk about projects, I think the driving force must be from the consumer itself. Now, they must demand the fact that projects must be sustainable. But having said that, remember that if you demand something, you must be willing to pay for it. So this is the important part of it. They can demand for some projects to be sustainable, but they have to be willing to pay for that sustainability. Because what it's talking about, are you willing to sacrifice the future of future generation for your consumption now? If you are not, then you should pay for it so that we do not spend what is future things now. Now, it becomes a very complicated issue in the sense that the economic situation of the purchaser must be in such a way that they are willing to pay for that. But we have always to remember that without paying attention to environment and sustainability, it's going to create a tremendous cost in future. And that cost itself is something that should put off all consumers. You know, if it's no use that you can have everything now, and the end you keep on having to maintain your, you know, you're having to face floods, everything. So all these things must be considered, and it must be a cycle in the sense that everybody benefits. If you consider a sustainable environment, there's no question. We have no choice but to go in that direction. The question is to make it in such a way that it becomes part of the economic system of the society so that everybody not only benefit through the protecting of the environment, but actually benefit in the sense that the whole society incomes and all the revenues they can actually increase by virtue of spending on maintenance of the environment. This is something we should collectively address. It takes a lot of thinking how to go about doing this.
Right.
Now, if I can just add there as well, I think there's a lot of interest now in what they call the circular economy. Okay. So not the linear economy, which is basically we take resources out of the ground, we put the product together, then we break it up, and then we discard it. But it's more sort of restore, reuse, recycle, if you like. But it's not just recycling. It's about rethinking the whole way that we run our business model.
You know, the thrust of Malaysia and the fact that we are trying to be a developed nation, most of it is in development and construction. How does the government address this in the Malaysian Green Master Plan? You know, like what guidelines have been given to your industries?
Currently, the government makes it a requirement to make sure that projects, to some extent, to the extent that we are knowledgeable in this country or current practice that is being that is occurring in the construction industry, that project must conform to certain level of environmental requirements. However, as I said, that not only there are more to be done, there are more areas that need to be researched on. We have not addressed many, many, many areas that we actually contribute to sustainability. We have addressed the main issues, which have quite a simple solution to it. But there are more than that that we can look at. The only thing is that I would say that not many are paying attention to the needs of sustainability in construction itself. There are groups looking at it, but insufficient to address, because the construction industry is a very big industry. And we find that, for example, skills itself is something that is that can actually contribute to sustainability. Without skill, you waste, whether in terms of time or in terms of resources. So skills itself by itself is already a requirement if you find if you think of sustainability. Yet we find that people are employing unskilled workers. So they can train within 1 or 2 days and say he becomes a good worker. He becomes a good worker, but he's not he doesn't produce sustainable output. So these are things which somebody should have, take the interest. ACPN on our own, we are small. We cannot look into all this. But we know there's a need to a lot more work to put into the construction industry. We only hope that our call for attention to be paid to this something extraction is heard by many, many more people and understood by many more people.
Do you think that, you know, the fact, just going back to profitability, do you think it's, you know, on the onus of this, that the burden will be on businesses instead, finding ways to transfer the burden and, you know, making it profitable for your company or profitable just enough, you know, to sustain and to keep doing what you're doing with incorporating green practices within your business? For example, you know, people, if the burden is on the consumer, they may not know, you know, I'm not going to shop at this mall because it just wasn't developed in an eco-friendly way. It's, you know, I don't foresee that happening. But perhaps a company that supplies materials to developers, for example, or contractors, people in the construction industry, perhaps they could find a way to be innovative and to sort of transfer the costs, you know, or distribute the costs in some way. If you're an eco-friendly shopping mall, for example, perhaps, you know, that's just a higher parking charge. I don't know. This is simplistic thinking.
Yeah.
But maybe it's innovation in that sort of mindset or thought process that will help people be profitable.
Yeah, I mean, I think this goes with the territory that if we're talking about sustainability, we're talking about innovation and new business opportunity. I think a lot of people are saying that, you know, compared to previous eras, you know, where is our new growth engine coming from? You know, there doesn't appear to be any China-like growth on the horizon as it was in the 90s. There's no great railroad development. There's no great sort of computer chip development to revolutionize the way an economy was run, the business model. But perhaps for this era, the answer is in the model itself, that instead of just looking at, you know, how much more we can earn for ourselves, and at the end of the day, you know, how many cars do you need? You know, how many houses do you need? There's already a problem of inequality between the so-called 1% who've got millions at their disposal and the 99% who haven't got anything like that amount, and the gap is widening. So there's obviously something wrong with the model as we've got it at the moment. But I think to come back to what you're saying, yes, there's got to be innovative solutions. And, you know, you look around and every country, every company and every project comes up with its own solutions for that. There's a lot of hope for, you know, what humans can apply in terms of ingenuity. But in terms of looking at costs as well, I mean, like you say, it could be deemed a cost that, you know, I pay an extra ringgit for my ethically produced coffee, let's say. But if I feel that by doing that I'm sustaining a community or a heritage, that makes me feel good, and that's profit for me. It's not in my pocket.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. I'm sure we'll be hearing more from both of you gentlemen on the subject of sustainability. Brian Cracknell, Green Project Management Global Partner, Mohammad Narudin, Secretary General of the Association of Construction Project Managers Malaysia. This has been Resource Centre. I'm Maya Tan, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.